Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophonous cavalcade of conversation. Thanks for spending some time with us tonight. Some of you perhaps took a jaunt out of the house today for perhaps the first time in a while. I went shopping, maybe picked up some food somewhere. You know, for those of you who own small businesses, I hope you're able to weather the storm. We're still not out of it by a long shot, no matter how much we might wish it were so. Those of you who've had no choice but to work, to go to work, and have been doing so through this whole pandemic, whether you wanted to or not, thanks again from all the rest of us. Those of you still waiting for a call back from the unemployment office, and I've heard from a lot of you out there, your anger is certainly justified. Ditto for small businesses, mom-and-pop places, bars, restaurants, waiting for that big relief check from the government. Don't know what to tell you about that. You know, I'm just my opinion. I'm here on a rare Saturday night, rare for me, that is. So here's the plan. In this hour, we'll open up the phone lines, hear what's on your minds. I'd really like to not get into any partisan back and forth about the pandemic, this side or that side, because we hear that stuff pretty much all day, all night, every night on pretty much every media platform there is. So we have so much more I think we could discuss in this hour, coast to coast type subjects, the meat and potatoes of what this show is about. That's my preference, but we'll open up the lines in just a few minutes and we'll see what's on your mind. Then for the rest of the program, we will be taking a walk on the wild side. I wanted to interview the Navajo Rangers for a long time, and tonight Jonathan Dover joins us to share some stories from his long and colorful career as one of the Rangers. They patrol a vast and picturesque area. The Navajo Nation, I think, has more than 400,000 members, has its own government and police force, and for years, the Rangers not only responded to and investigated all the usual kind of crimes that other police departments have to handle, you know, violence and murder and drugs and traffic incidents, they also took calls and investigated more bizarre matters, what we would call paranormal. And unlike most of their other law enforcement colleagues and other agencies, the Rangers took these calls seriously. Bigfoot, for instance, that's one of the cases that created this team of Navajo Rangers that looked into the paranormal, a Bigfoot appearance on Navajo land. UFOs, a bunch of them. Ghost reports, different kinds of creatures, and the spookiest of them all, skinwalkers. Jonathan and his partner were sort of like the Mulder and Scully of the Navajo Nation. They approached these cases like any other crimes or crime reports, and they had their own experiences along the way, some of these pretty spooky. We're going to cover a lot of ground with Jonathan Dover starting at about 50 minutes from now. In the news tonight, Fred Willard, comic actor, passed away. If you're old enough to remember Fernwood Tonight, it was sort of a satirical talk show years ago, then you remember Fred Willard. He's also been in dozens of movies, kind of carved out his own niche for sure, a deadpan, hilarious guy. Sad to hear that news. He was 86. Also, Phyllis George. She was Miss America, remember? Then she blazed a path as a female sports broadcaster, Monday Night Football. She became the First Lady of Kentucky. She passed away, too, in case you haven't heard that news yet. She was 70 years old. And as most of you already know, we also lost Little Richard this week, one-of-a-kind entertainer, one of the founding pillars of rock and roll. And I think we're going to have to play one of his records as a bumper song tonight. Another burst of UFO-related news in mainstream media this week. A couple of stories that broke. One didn't really mention UFOs at all. It was about an advanced Navy system designed to fool advanced sensors of the enemy, project an image, in effect, that could fool infrared sensors, make an enemy see something that isn't really there. I thought it was interesting timing for that story to come out with all the other UFO news that's been around. My guess is just maybe that story was released as kind of a backhanded way to explain away some of the most dramatic UFO sightings documented by U.S. Navy pilots, the ones that have made so much news over the last couple of years. The article didn't actually come out and say it, but it kind of planted the seed for us. And then there was another spate of UFO case files that were released, strange objects that military pilots had encountered. They couldn't explain them, but then they did. This is sort of the same game that the Pentagon has been playing for a very long time. Oh, looky, we can explain these things away after all. Nothing to see here. And I would just give you two words about that. Those words are swamp and gas. Remember those? Swamp, gas. It's one of ours, or it's something else that's explainable. And I say, you know, it's always good to get more UFO-related information from the government. So anything they admit on the record is useful, even if it's a little bit misleading. But just keep those two words in mind, swamp and gas. You feel me on that? I think you do. There was some excellent reporting on these cases this week. The new releases that came out, Tyler Rogaway, who's been our guest on this program before, and then other media picked up on his work. Our webmaster tonight, Tim Benall, and I have pulled together assorted items and oddities from various news sources around the world. We call it NAPS News. You can find it on the Coast to Coast AM website. And one of the stories posted there is about these UFO cases that were discussed in the media this past week. Also, interesting story by author and researcher Nick Redfern, who's been our guest many times on this program. He looks into why some people who encounter the unknown report such inexplicable panic, just a fear that's off the charts. I've investigated a couple of those cases myself. They're pretty weird. And Nick, by the way, will be our guest tomorrow night. Check out this article. Maybe we'll ask him about it 24 hours from now. An article I found really interesting about new research into saber-toothed tigers. New things learned about the giant cats that once roamed our continent of North America, and a story that relates to our guest tonight. It's about a Bigfoot sighting on the Navajo reservation, and there have been a lot of them. That and more in NAPS News. And while you're on the website, check out how to become a Coast Insider. If you subscribe for a year, the cost is pennies a day. It allows you access to a vast archive of programs, including the Art Bell Collection. You can listen anytime you want on various devices and platforms as often as you want. You can also find out how to subscribe to George Norrie's television program, Beyond Belief. Always has great content there. Had a chance to join George earlier this week. Had a good conversation, about half an hour on Thursday night. Hope you got to check that out. With that, let's assume the position. Bring in the dog and the cat and the iguana and the rooster. Put on a pot of Joe. Slide your bod into those silky PJs and the bunny slippers. Plop yourself down in a comfy spot, turn down the lights, and turn up the radio, because we're about ready to rumble. Open lines in just a minute, and then Jonathan Dover, The Paranormal Adventures of a Navajo Ranger. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're going to go to the phone, see what's on your mind. East of the Rockies, Thomas in Worcester, Mass. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me, before you bring up whatever you want to talk about, how's it going there?
I've been indoors a lot. I'm over 70. I'm 74 years old, and I've got diabetes and a bunch of, you know, peripheral neuropathies, and my balance is not so hot, so I stay in. I'm afraid if I get the virus, I'm not gonna survive it.
Yeah, a lot of people in that same position. I think you're playing it smart. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, before I go, I want to tell this story about a UFO I saw on a blind date many, many years ago, like over 30 years ago.
Okay.
I was bringing the young sweet thing back home, and I parked on the street in front of her house, and I got out of the car, and I was walking her to her front door of her driveway when she noticed a light in the sky to the left of us. We were on a hill. And I looked over and I saw something that was like the shape of a football, and it had colors like oval. It was like a piece of oval that was alive. It kept moving, you know, changing, but it was mostly blue with red and pink and stuff like that. She said, "Do you think it's a plane?" And I said, "No, planes don't look like that." I had taken a course just a few months before, and I flunked it, but I knew that was not a plane. Anyway, the thing seemed to just hover, and it was It was some miles away. And I said, if it moves, it will move toward us or away from us. So it will go up or down, and we'll be able to see which way it's coming. And then it didn't get bigger, it didn't get smaller, and then it started to move straight up. It moved straight up for just a few seconds, and when all of a sudden it flashed like a flash cube. It got awfully bright and totally disappeared. I expected to see pieces of it falling to the ground and stuff like that. There was no such thing. It just totally disappeared.
Must have been swamp gas, huh?
It was not swamp gas. This thing, when it went straight up, it went straight up. And like I was saying, it was some miles away, so it was a pretty big distance it traveled before it disappeared.
Tell me this. Did you call anybody, report it to the police or UFO organizations or anyone?
I didn't want to. I didn't know at the time that I knew that you could call people, but it wasn't something to say. Publicized, and I really didn't want to be bothered or bother anybody or even get involved. I thought it was the kind of thing that only weirdos saw.
Well, you're not entirely wrong there, but you know, regular people, sane people.
Carl Jung, and he wrote a whole book about UFOs and how they were manifestations of your psyche, etc.
Well, Carl Jung had a book about how they're sort of a manifestation of our collective unconscious, but that doesn't mean they're mythical or mythological, that they could be real in a sense. Tell me this, did anybody else report it? Did anything appear in the newspaper?
I don't think the girl I was with reported it either. I never talked to her again. I was embarrassed, really.
Well, Thomas, we're glad you were able to get it off your chest, and thank you for listening, and you hang in there. We're going now west of the Rockies, Jim in Washington. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Hello. I wanted to talk to you about a UFO that caused an Air Force transport plane to crash in the late 50s. It happened between Buckley, Washington, and Mount Rainier.
Yes.
My father was on the board then. Did the accident investigation. And of course, what they put out at the time was no, there was no UFO involved. But before my father died, he told me, yeah, it was a UFO. The tail of the airplane was found 50 miles away from the body of the airplane. The UFO had sliced into the back of the plane and carried the tail off a little ways before it fell off.
You know, I've heard of cases like this in other parts of the world, and you get vague reports of similar things happening here, but finding evidence of it, that's another matter. So your father, was he working for the NTSB, the National Transportation
No,
Safety Board?
He was a civilian working for the Air Force at McCord Air Force Base.
So if there was a report, it'd be an Air Force report.
Right. And the thing is, the plane... Years ago, I checked online about it, and they said, well, it wasn't a UFO, and it was on the top of a ridgeline. No, it was down the ridgeline, and there was a road that came up towards it and then went around the airplane, and you could look down and see that the tail wasn't there. So I'm guessing that the Tacoma News Tribune or some newspaper would have a photo somewhere of the plane laying there, minus the tail.
So your dad shared this with you. Was he terminal? Was he about to die, or was this something?
Yeah, he had heart trouble, and the doctor had told him, you only got so much time. Now, from the 50s up until he died in like 93, he always told me he didn't believe in UFOs or little green men. Okay, but when he knew he was going to die, because he assigned stuff to the government, he wouldn't talk about it. But when he knew he was going to die. Then he became talkative about certain things.
Well, let's thank you for sharing that story. If you think you can nail down the date a little bit closer, send me an email about it. I'll try to poke into it a little bit. I appreciate you sharing the information with me. I'm sorry?
I don't I'm not really into do emails or anything, but Tacoma News Tribune, their files or something, should have a photo of the plane laying there.
All right. Well, Jim, thank you for sharing that. Maybe some other people in our audience can, that rings a bell with them, and they can hit us up with some more info. Thanks for calling in. First time caller, Scott in Chicago. Hey, Scott, how you doing? Welcome to Coast.
Well, I'm doing well. I hope you are too, George.
Yes. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. You have no idea how many times and how many joyful hours of entertainment and information you brought to me. I just want to thank God for George Knapp. And I just wanted to say that this is an answer to prayer to be able to talk to you. My wife just recently passed, and this is one thing that was on my bucket list to get to talk to George about the Ohio Grassman, a creature, a Bigfoot creature that evidently is supposed to be of the largest type of Bigfoot. Do you know anything, George? Would you
never heard that term? Never heard that term at all. Where did you learn it?
The Bigfoot community. I mean, pick a name of a group. I mean, I wouldn't want to not take. I'm not making up the word. In fact, when I talked with the lady on the phone, I had to convince her I'm not being a smart aleck. It really is a term in the community, the Ohio Grassman. They say he's like almost 12 feet and just massive. They caught, evidently some people have a few pictures of the backside of him in relation to ranches and farms as this creature was stealing their livestock. So I was just curious to know, and if the rest of the audience knows anything about it. Boy, I hope somebody else calls in so you don't think I am a lunatic.
I don't think you're a lunatic. I know there are, there are sightings of these kinds of creatures everywhere, all over the world, in I think pretty much every state. I'm not entirely sure about Hawaii, but I think they've had their own, and they're known by different names in all those places. Bigfoot is the most common one, but it was a new term in the, I think in the 1960s is when that popped up. And before that, it was known as Sasquatch and Yeti, and it's Yowie in Australia. And so it has a lot of different names around the world. Ohio Grassman sounds like a pretty cool name. And I'm not surprised that there would be reports there. And I have heard reports about these creatures carrying off livestock.
Well, that's how I remember the issue being brought to my attention, that the ranchers actually were scared for their life, and they had hired some, a special group of people and to help assist them from having all their livestock taken.
And I so it's a long, long time since you've heard these reports?
No, I would say that, long time. I'm 65. I would say this is in the last 5 years. So last 5 years, and there hasn't been anything. I've kind of lost track because, everything's kind of shifted in my life. But I was able to spend more time on this subject, and the other things that happened in my life has changed. And, we have to prioritize things, right? But I'm still very interested in this, and it couldn't have been more than 5 years ago that these stories were brought to me.
And let me ask you this. So we've got about a minute and a half before we're going to go to a break. Let me ask you this. You said you just lost your wife. How are things going in Chicago in general? Are things opening back up?
You know, Mayor Lightfoot here is in favor of keeping everything closed down. There has been protests here in Chicago, peaceful demonstrations, people riding in their car, honking horns, waving posters, the American flag. Patriotism is strong. But and also in Springfield, down at the state, there was also the strong support. And I mean, strong support for lifting of the lockdown, but also strong support for the current president. That's what I'm seeing. And I got to tell you, it's really strange to have a family member pass. That's strange. You weren't thinking that it's going to happen. But to not be able to go through this normal grieving process of where you would normally have a wake or, you have a normal ceremony, whatever your faith or you know, however your loved ones have passed on, you're not able to do that right now. It's kind of weird. It's messing up the grieving process. And I mean, I can't put my grieving on hold until this CV-19 lockdown is lifted. So that we
Oh, I gotcha. Scott, I appreciate you calling. Hope you hang in there. I think there's a lot of people in the same situation as you all across the country, and it's a strange time. We're talking about UFOs. We're talking about the Ohio Grassman. I think we're going to might get into some haunted houses as well in the next segment as we go back to the phone lines to see what's on your mind. Then at the top of the hour, we're going to get a little freaky. Jonathan Dover of the Navajo Rangers here to talk about his long and colorful law enforcement career on the Navajo Reservation, some very strange encounters that he investigated and had on his own. We'll be right back and go back to the phones here on Coast to Coast AM. We need to hear a good haunted house story. I think Jim in Boston might have one. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yes, this is Jim, a longtime listener and a privilege to be on, sir.
What's on your mind?
So my mother recently passed away from natural causes. She was 90 years old. And I thought I would just share this story in her remembrance. It's something very special that happened. When I was a youngster, I was about 12 years old. I had a younger brother and a younger sister, and we lived in a little house and with my mother. And we actually went and visited my grandmother on the weekend. And we were there. We got a call from a neighbor that the house had burned that we were living in. It was on fire. And there was actually an apartment upstairs, and we lived downstairs. So the next day, my mother puts us in the car, and we go back home. It's about 200-mile drive. And come to find out, our section of the house was okay, but the lady that lived upstairs had burned to death in the house. Later we find out, like the next day or two, she had been severely beaten by a boyfriend and placed in her bed, and her bed had been set on fire. At some point she had woken up and walked into the kitchen trying to find a way out, and she collapsed on the floor and died in the kitchen. We were home, and probably maybe a week after that, I started hearing footsteps above my bedroom at night. And it sounded like someone walking from one room to another, back and forth, back and forth. And as the days or as the nights went by, they always start like at midnight, 1 a.m. As the nights started going by, I would hear them louder, louder, walking back and forth, walking back and forth. No one in my family ever talked about it. No one ever said anything, right? So I thought I was just the only one hearing it. And maybe 2 months after that, we had a little nightlight in our bedroom, my brother and I, and the nightlight started going off and on by itself. And it would go off and it'd go on, it'd go off and go on. And then the footsteps started very loud this time, like hard heels walking around upstairs. And the upstairs had been boarded up, that no one had ever been up there since the fire. When I got up and I actually walked into my mother's bedroom, which was next door, and I could see she was like still awake in bed. And it was bothering me so much, I asked her if I could lay down next to her. And I said, Mom, is it okay if I lay down by you tonight? And she said, sure. So I laid down, and I'll never forget, she leaned over to my ear and whispered, you hear it too, huh? Right? And I looked at her and I said, yeah, it's really bothering me tonight. Those were the only words that were spoken about that whole incident, right? And we lived there for about 6 more months and finally moved. But that's the story. And I've since talking with my brothers and sisters, and they had all heard it and experienced it too. But for some reason, just like no one ever spoke about it. So I just thought I would share that story.
Yeah, that's a great story. It's the way people react. It's a very human thing. Not admitting that you're hearing it or that it might be real is a way to kind of keep it away. You know, it's like putting the blanket over your head as a kid and the
right.
Monster won't get you.
Right.
Yeah. Jim, thank you for sharing that story. Is the house still there?
It is not. It actually got knocked down maybe 10 years ago. And I always felt really strange when you go by. It just felt like somebody was staring at you from the upstairs. I remember going home as a young boy. I would never look upstairs because I always felt like there were eyes staring at me from the upstairs windows, right? And, clear footprints at night. I mean, foot sounds at night. So there was definitely something strange going on there. But, yes, the house is gone now. So there's just my memory of it.
Well, Jim, thank you for sharing that story. That's a good one. Appreciate it. We're going to go to Wisconsin. Rod in Wisconsin. Hey, Rod, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yes, hello. I wanted to see George.
Yes. Yeah, I'm George.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to make this as short as possible, but so you get the whole picture. I'm 60. My dad is still alive. He's a World War II veteran, and he used to tell once in a while about things that they seen and stories from other pilots and such. He was a radio man in the SB2C, hell diver in the Navy, and the Foo Fighter, you know, and some of these things that the guys would see that nobody could explain. So, you know, it always kept me interested. And I was in high school, and I kind of was wondering if this was a hot spot because there was an elderly family that claimed that something followed them. It hovered over their vehicle, and they were very religious people. He told my dad said they never were the joke around people. They were straightforward, you know. And he let his wife off. She just ran up the steps and went to the house. And the thing, you know, hovered above the yard, and he put the car in the garage. And then he went to the house. I don't know if he ran. I can't remember. A long time ago. But in that particular area is where I saw in 1970, it would have been 78, summer of 78, a triangle. And, I mean, this was moving at about sales pace, but it was tilt the triangle about 20 degrees, I would guess, and it just kept going. And my classmate was with me. We were going out to one of the polka dances, because that's what we used to have up here almost every weekend, you know, in the summer. And when I told him, he said, what? You know, when he turned, the top rest light had just kind of disappeared between the tree line of a field about a half mile long, and he could see the aura just kind of disperse. It got darker and darker, but there was an aura around it. And I right away just started thinking about where this would have been if it was whatever size, you know. And I thought maybe if this would have had it been right in the same area where these folks had lived. And I don't know. And there's a couple of lakes around there. You know, we have a lot of lakes right around here. But you hear about this stuff, you know. And I just thought if there was any hot spots in Wisconsin.
You know, offhand, off the top of my head, I can't answer that question about hotspots, but Wisconsin, like every other state, has a lot of sightings. The person to ask would be Cheryl Costa. She's been my guest on this program a couple of times, and she created this UFO sightings desk reference that is it's the definitive pile of info on UFO sightings broken down by city, state, county. I know that there's an article sitting here on my desk that's from June of 2019 that ranks states by the number of UFO sightings, and Wisconsin ranks 31st. So it's not, as a state, a hot spot, but there might be hot spots within it. Cheryl Costa would be the person to ask that. But sure, you've got places there where you have a lot of sightings. The thing is, 90-95% of the people who see them don't report them. Did you?
Well, I didn't really know about any reporting places at the time. You know, I know my dad, you know, he was always open-minded, you know, because he's still alive. He'll be 98 in September. And, you know, if you get talking to him, he says, I don't believe it. He says, I can't believe that we're the only one. That's what my dad says. You know, he says, when you look out there, he says, I can't believe it, he says. You know, and, of course, with them Foo Fighters, which that many, you know, a lot of guys have seen that. That was a handle they just put on, you know. But when he told me about that story, and then that happened to me where I seen this triangle thing coming down. I mean, I wasn't drinking beer. I wasn't smoking dope like some of the kids did. I'm telling you the honest to God truth. So,
well, I appreciate your call, Rod. And, you know, there are a heck of a lot of triangle UFO sightings all over the country. They were more pronounced, I think, in the 80s, but there were still some in the 70s and earlier, and I appreciate you sharing the story. Thanks a lot. We're going to go to next to Mark in New Hampshire. Hey, Mark, welcome to Coast to Coast.
George, good to hear your voice. You're one of a kind. Hey, listen, I get your winter coat out. Frank Colucci wants to bring you into the Knights of Malta so they can fly you down to the Antarctica to make you privy to the information down there. That's what the real story is, guarantee you.
Are there any dues involved in this Knights of Malta thing? I'd like to visit Antarctica, but I don't know about the dues.
I think they'd be privileged to have you okay. on board, to be frank with you. And you would be the one to open the door to the information down in Antarctica that they'll probably release. You would be the man.
I'd love to know more about it. Do you have solid contacts other than what you've heard on the radio or read about in UFO publications? I mean, I've heard Linda Howell's stuff, and it sounds like she's got sources who've shared a lot of stuff with her. I just don't know. I don't have any confirmation myself.
Well, Richard Hoagland was kind of privy to some information at one time. But the other thing is, did you ever interview Robert Goswolf about the pyramids in the Rocky Mountains?
I have not.
I see. And I heard Herman Schmidt is running Bayer now for Monsanto. They bought up Monsanto. Is that true?
Yeah, it seems like that rings a bell with me, but I'm not the person to ask. I'll see if I can find out some information for you and ask, but that would not be a surprise.
Right.
That would not be a surprise.
Well, thank you very kindly, and I wish you well.
Yeah, let the Knights know. I'm happy to go to Antarctica, down to Antarctica anytime they want. Thanks a lot. We're going to go to Gary in Beaverton, Oregon. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, George. First-time caller. Thanks for taking it. This happened about 10 to 12 years ago. Me and the wife out in a long, hot summer night, about 2 in the morning, and it never fails. We didn't take the camera out that time. We were standing there. I was looking west, and she backed off and looked over the house east, and she goes, "Oh, my God." And all of a sudden, here they come, 4 of them. Came over the top, and they were, if you hold a quarter in your fingertip and thumb and put it above your head, that's how big and how low they were. There was 4 of them. They were like an orangey, kind of a hazy cream color. No noise, but they're real bright. The 2 on the top kept stationary, and they were moving not real fast. And the 2 on the bottom started doing like tricks, like going up to the top and then to the bottom where you could see the top of the saucer and then back down to the bottom of the saucer. I swear, if you had a 50 caliber sniper's rifle, you could have hit them. That's how low they were. And they got down about, I would say, a mile or two, a little bit out of range, and they were gone. The next day I called Hillsborough Airport. They connected me with Portland Airport, and they connected me with the Air Force. And, of course, you know how that went. They said they didn't see anything. I've seen at least 30 saucers from early 60s up. I'm 65. I've seen a lot of saucers, and I've seen some in groups of 12. I've seen 2s and a couple about, every year I've seen at that time, several years ago, we used to go up all the time. I'm in a wheelchair now because I got a bunch of broken bones, unfortunately, so I haven't been out looking. But I've had a lot of experiences. And not only that, but with Bigfoot, too, if you want to hear that one.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this is probably about the early 80s. 3 of us got lost up by Larch Mountain Lookout above Multnomah Falls. And it was probably about 30 degrees. It was Kurt September. And we were stumbling, and we didn't have any flashlight. We had, kind of hippie legging long hair and all that kind of stuff. We had knives on us, hunting knives. We didn't have a gun or a flashlight. And it was probably around 11:30 or so. And we finally got down to the road, which we figured it was probably Stark Street going up to Larch Mountain Lookout. And all of a sudden, we hear this rumbling below us, coming up through the woods, crackling, and it started getting louder and louder. We thought, well, it's probably a bear or a big bull elk or something like that, because I've been around it for elk and whatnot go through the trees and whatnot, and they're pretty nasty. They can do some damage. And all of a sudden, it's getting louder and louder, and I don't know any cases before where Bigfoot, people have heard Bigfoot knocking down, I'm serious, knocking down saplings, like 4, 6, 8-inch, 10-inch saplings, that were probably 40, 50 footers, splitting them in half. And you could hear the splinter just cracking. I mean, we're like, oh my God, you know, we're trying to grab rocks and scream at it and holler at it. It was getting closer and closer. And you could hear it when it was pushing over these trees, you could hear it hitting branches, breaking all the way down, and then hit the ground, that big thud, you know, on that fallout over the years of the ground and the leaves and grass and whatnot in the mud. And it get closer and closer. I swear, if we would have stood there, it would have come right into us. So we double-timed it as much as we could. We were just pooped. It walked up probably, oh, God, I don't know, probably about 80 feet. It got on the guardrail, sat down there huffing and puffing. The moon came out, lit both sides of the street up in the road. And here it comes. It came out, stood right on the road going downhill. Just stood there for a bit, looking around, looked up at us. We didn't say a word. And then all of a sudden, it just kept going real slow and got to the other side of the road. And you could hear it go all the way up the hill, busting branches, moving brush around the trees. But I know for sure, I don't even know if we should have even stood there, even if we did have flashlights, because I've never heard of one making that kind of racket coming up the hill.
Wow. You know, we need to take a collection up and get you a good camera. The UFO sighting you had was spectacular. And then to have this in addition in your lifetime, that is, that's amazing. So
I had Bigfoot come down on our campground one time back in the 60s up by, by Clear Lake area, whatnot. It was about 2 feet of snow. It came behind us walking. My buddy was just out of Vietnam. And I was listening to a transistor radio and everything coming in from Bend. And all of a sudden, it started. We were probably 50 feet off the road. It took us all afternoon to make it through this. The snow is probably 2 or 3 feet in a four-wheel drive. And we off the road probably 100 feet and probably 50 foot from a clear cut. And all of a sudden, at 1 o'clock at night, you could hear this boom. Boom. Every step it took, the ground moved up from vibration on your neck all the way to your feet. And he had his 30-06. He got out of the tent. He sort of stepped right in the coals of the fire. It was one of those nights where you can't see your, you know, hand 2 inches from you. And we'd lay there for a while so you could hear it coming down on the ground. And it was real heavy, real heavy. And he was like, what the H is that? And he got out, and he was a medic in Nam. Of course, he was there for a few years. And he got out and fired several shots in back of us with his 30-06. Of course, it was gone. 2 days later, people in that area had seen it and it was on the radio and whatnot about it. So it's pretty weird.
Was he trying to hit it?
No, didn't hit it. No, didn't hit it. But they saw the Bigfoot up in that area, the same area we were at.
Hey, Gary, we're going to have to go to a break. I appreciate you sharing both of those stories. You might want to check with the National UFO Reporting Center. It's in Washington State, Peter Davenport. They keep records on UFO sightings. It'd be interesting to see if you could get the approximate date when those four objects were seen and find out if anybody else reported the same thing. But thanks for calling.